Okay, we're in chapter 39. We're going to finish up chapter 39, go into chapter 40, Lord willing, this morning. We're in this exciting story of Joseph. This is one of the most exciting stories in the Bible. This is the saga of Joseph. And the reason it's so exciting is it's got a lot of tragedy. It's got all sorts of emotional things in it, and yet it turns out well. It has a happy ending to it. And it has so many lessons of life in it. So many spiritual things that you can take and bring into yourself and live them out in your life if you have a heart for it. So we're going to pick up where we left off, read a few verses of last week's lesson, and then pick up in verse 19 of chapter 39. This is about the time when Joseph was in the house of Potiphar. And it came to pass, a lot of it came to passes in this story. When she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us." Kind of a racial slur there. You know, a racial thing here. An outsider. Not an Egyptian. "He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice." Didn't you hear my loud voice? "And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice," she didn't say loud voice again, but she said, "and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried," this is the third time she exclaims this, "that he left his garment with me and fled out." Verse 19 and 20, "And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled." We wonder about that wrath as time goes on in this story. Who was this wrath kindled against? Of course, there was indications that it was kindled against Joseph, but there's also indications later that there was a mixed emotion here. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. So now we have Joseph in prison. My, Joseph rises to the occasion and then he falls into a pit, or he's put into a pit and he rises to the occasion. Now he's put in prison. Can't keep a good man like Joseph down. So we can expect a rise here while he's in prison. So we read that Potiphar's wrath was kindled when he was told of the accusation of his wife. But we wonder why Potiphar simply didn't have Joseph put to death. It would seem like that would be a normal thing for an occasion like this, where Joseph is accused of engaging or trying to engage in an illicit affair with the master's wife. I mean, goodness gracious, that's a dastardly thing. That's a thing that most slaves would be immediately killed for, and yet Joseph was not killed. So possibly we see that Potiphar was not taken in fully by his wife's story. Perhaps his wife had a history of this kind of thing with servants of the household. There were some mitigating circumstances here which caused Potiphar not to destroy Joseph, we see. Perhaps other servants had hinted to him of what was taking place. Perhaps he had some intelligence. But he was between a rock and a hard place, for his wife was accusing Joseph of this infidelity. What could he do? Well, at any rate, he spared Joseph's life. The second time, we see that Joseph was saved from death. Remember the first time when his brothers were going to kill him? So this is the second time we see Joseph spared from death. And this is the second time we see Joseph imprisoned for being faithful to his master. The first time he was being faithful to his father. And the second time he was being faithful to his master, although his master didn't see that. And it's interesting to see that in both cases his garment was used in the false report. But you know, Joseph knew that God had saved him when his brothers placed him in the pit, and he knew that God would deliver him also from this imprisonment. Joseph was that kind of person. And whether God delivered him or not, Joseph was going to be faithful. Joseph was also that kind of person. So knowing the character of Joseph, we can predict what will happen in his imprisonment. Joseph will rise to the occasion. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. Oh, how important this is to understand. But the Lord was with Joseph. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. That's what Joseph knew in his mind. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. We're told in the Proverbs to trust in the Lord, which I've said before is to seek refuge, flee for refuge to the Lord. So that was Joseph's continuing condition. Joseph was always fleeing for refuge to the Lord. He always had the arms of the Lord around him. And we see in this verse that the Lord was with Joseph. You know, it's not hard for the Lord to be with you if you draw nigh to him. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Remember, we read about how Joseph was prosperous in the house of Potiphar? And we looked at that word prosperous, and we found that that word prosperous meant that Joseph could not be kept down. You couldn't put Joseph down. Joseph would always rise up and overcome the circumstances in which he found himself. He was an overcomer. See? He was an overcomer because he knew that the Lord was with him. What's that saying? That God and me are a majority in any community? And you don't need me. And that's the way Joseph felt. He was an overcomer. He was prosperous. Throw him in prison, he was prosperous there. Put him in the master's house, he was prosperous there. Later on, we'll see that he's the ruler over Egypt, and he's prosperous there. You know, the man's character was consistent, wasn't it? Now, this is what we're told in Psalm 105, 17 through 19. This is not portrayed in this story in Genesis, but it reveals a little bit about what happened in prison. Psalm 105, 17 through 19. He sent a man before them. God is saying, I sent a man before Israel. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. That's not told us in the book of Genesis. That's told us in the book of Psalms. Now, fetters, we don't know what fetters are because we've never had fetters around our feet, but they're chains for the feet. Fetters. Whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. That tells us what's happening here too, doesn't it? The word of the Lord tried him. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. But Joseph, in the early days of his imprisonment, was bound in iron and his feet were hurt with fetters. Those early days were not happy days or easy days for Joseph. The Amplified Bible reads it this way. His feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in chains of iron, and his soul entered into the iron. You get the picture? His soul entered into the iron. His soul was affected. Until his word to his cruel brothers came true, until the word of the Lord tried and tested him. So what's happening there in prison, we're told in Psalms, is that Joseph is being tried and tested. See, he's like the iron in the hand of the blacksmith who puts the iron in the fire and brings it out and takes a heavy sledgehammer and beats it and tempers that iron. And that iron says, oh, don't do that to me. But the blacksmith says, I've got a plan for you to be useful. See? And the iron yields itself to the blacksmith's hammer so that it becomes useful. And that's what was happening to Joseph here. Pastor's been talking about Job. That's what happened to Job. See? So this imprisonment means that his fetters hurt his mind as well as his body as he lay imprisoned, but this was part of his trying and testing when the time came for his dreams to be lived out to his brothers. This was a trying and testing time for Joseph. You know, I think Joseph understood that. Joseph didn't moan and groan here. Joseph didn't complain unto the Lord here. Joseph just didn't go emotionally defunct here. He knew that he was being tried. He knew that he was being tested. See? Because in this pain and suffering, Joseph kept his testimony to the point that he found favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Amazing. I don't think that would be the case with me. I'm too weak. To have those fetters on your feet and perhaps your neck chained, imprisoned, you can't move. Talk about the fear that would go through your mind if you couldn't move. See, none of us have gone through those kind of conditions. But Joseph, we're told, kept his testimony to the point that he found favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. This is just amazing to me. He did not revile his oppressors. He did not offend those who kept him in chains. He was as the Lord Jesus Christ was, as Isaiah recorded in Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. If he did open his mouth, it was open as a mouth of blessing instead of cursing. You know, had Joseph become bitter, this would not have surprised us. But instead, we see that adversity in Joseph's life appears to have made him kind and tender, and the more he was afflicted, the more his heart filled with grace. You know, it appears that that's the case with those that are close to the Lord. I think there's a principle here. The more he was afflicted, the more his heart was filled with grace. Why is that? Because he was seeking refuge with God. See? Bitterness comes from those that are not in the arms of God. You see, it is impossible for a man to continue to be hurt in the soul if the Lord is with him. You know, I thought of this, Pastor, in light of your teaching in Job, and I brought Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite into the picture. They visited the prison, you know. They may have visited the prison and said, oh, Joseph, you're in bad shape here. And they started to gather around Joseph and counsel Joseph. And they would say, what sin have you done, Joseph, to cause you who claimed righteousness to be in such straits, to be in prison? Nothing good has happened to you, Joseph. Nothing good has happened to you. You lost your mother. Your brothers hate and despise you and sold you into Egypt. You've been now accused of being a seducer. And now you lie in fetters and your neck is in irons. And their conclusion, Joseph, is that you must be a great sinner. See, but they forgot or they didn't consider that Joseph was being tested as Job was being tested. That he might come forth as gold that he might prepare a place for God to raise up a great nation to bring forth his son, the Redeemer. You see the importance of Joseph's testimony here? He was set forth for a great mission to prepare a place so that Israel would come into a place where they could be built into a great nation. That from that great nation, the Redeemer would come. You see, God's plans are so far above any minor tragedy we may face. We got to put things in perspective when we have a tragedy in our lives. We've got to look at 100 years from now, or 200 years from now, or even 10 years from now, or 1 year from now. See, we have a tragedy in our life. It's, oh, God hates us. What have we done so badly that he hates us so much? But you see, God's plans are so far above any minor tragedy we may face. Don't we see that in the case of Joseph? Oh, yeah, he was in the pit. He was emotionally stressed. Now he's in prison. Yeah, but Joseph, look at the plan that God has here. What a mighty plan. Get on board. Get on board. You see, Paul caught this truth in Philippians 3:8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Oh, poor Paul, we're so sympathetic. Paul says, don't be sympathetic for me. Because I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Say, oh yeah, I've gone through all these things, but they're nothing. See, because of the glorious result of going through those things, the winning of Christ. See, oh, we got to put things in perspective. So in this dark hour, Joseph's in fetters. He's in chains. He's in the dark prison, and yet his shining testimony comes through, and God's faithfulness showed through. For the jailer came to appreciate and trust Joseph, for the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Verse 22. And 23, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Who's the leader? Joseph. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. He knew the way. He went the way and he showed them the way. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. He was a prosperous man. Nothing got in the way of that which was right to do. You know, that phrase there, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, reminds us of whom? Potiphar. See? He relaxed and said, hey, if I do anything, I get in the way. Have you ever had that kind of situation, those that are in charge? I've done that. I've been in charge, and I do something, and I find out that I shouldn't have done that because I got in the way of the process that was already underway. Because I had faithful people that were doing that which they were supposed to do. See? So Potiphar's loss was the jailer's gain. Potiphar was now having to look after all that he had because Joseph was no longer in the house and in the fields. But the jailer kicked back and relaxed because the Lord was with Joseph and blessed all that he did in the prison. So what broke the chains and the fetters of Joseph? His testimony. His testimony. You know, this is so wonderful, and this is so typical of the Lord's working in a person. You know what we would do if we had chains and fetters? We'd kick against those chains and fetters. We need to get out of these things. This is rubbing me raw. I'm dying over here. We'd have the direct approach, and we wouldn't be successful. But Joseph had the testimony of a servant, and the testimony of a servant broke those chains and fetters. I think there's a situation in Acts where this occurs also. His testimony broke the chains and the irons. For a good man will do good wherever he is and will be a blessing even in bonds and banishment. See, what's your character? That character will show through wherever you are. If you're a moaner and a groaner in freedom, you'll be a moaner and a groaner in prison. See, but if you're in the arms of the Lord and the Lord is with you in freedom, he'll be with you in prison. You see, Joseph could have kicked against his bindings, thinking that of his own self, he could loose them. That's the direct approach. I'll take action. I'll loose these fetters. I'll loose these chains. That's the direct approach. See, but by kicking against the training that God intended for him, he would have lost the opportunity to be the second ruler over Egypt and have lost the privilege of preparing a place for Israel. That's what he would have lost. Yeah, he would have gained freedom, but he would have lost the opportunity to serve God in this glorious way that's related to us. You see, Joseph was in God's training school. And the curriculum in God's training school is given in 1 Peter 2:18 through 23. Todd preached this the other day. But when I read this and I read that passage, I see Joseph. This is the heart of Joseph that was related to us in 1 Peter. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well, that was Joseph, and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. See? Oh, we could say, get me out of these fetters. Get me out of these chains. And God is turning his face away from you and saying, I'm ashamed of my servant for kicking against the pricks here, for trying to loose himself from chains that I've placed on him. See, that's what the Bible says. You take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. God's looking for that kind of yielded servant. Isn't that marvelous? For even hereunto ye were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. See? Well, who's our example? Joseph? Well, Joseph was a precursor of Christ. Joseph was a type of Christ. But let's look at Christ. See? Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. What are we? Disciples of Christ. What does a disciple do? He follows the leader. He follows the leader that knows the way and goes the way and shows the way. See? And Christ was suffering. And he suffered as a yielded servant to the Lord, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. Don't you suppose when Joseph was placed in prison, the jailer put the fetters on his ankles and chained his arms? Don't you suppose that that jailer looked for a cursing man? Looked for someone who would revile him? Looked for someone that would hate him? Don't you think that jailer expected that from the prisoners? Because that's what he got all of his life. And here we find a Joseph that kept his testimony, who reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. See, that's the kind of man that Joseph was. A type of Christ. So Joseph trusted in God and yielded himself to God and testified of God by his testimony, and God loosed him that he may serve him. That's who Joseph intended to loose him. Not his own efforts. Because by his own efforts, if he would try to be loosed, he would be kicking against the testing and the trying of God. So Joseph was given charge of all the prisoners and directed all that they did, we're told here. If the work was in the fields, Joseph directed it. If the work was in the prison, Joseph told them what to do. Because the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. See, now that's the mark of a supervisor, by the way. See, that's why we hold a supervisor accountable. Well, I didn't do it. My people did it. I didn't know anything about it. I'm not guilty. Yeah, you are guilty because you should have known about it. See, if they did it, you did it. That's what is lacking in our society today, accountability. And when you don't have accountability on a supervisor, the supervisor loses his supervision and his eyes get dim and he doesn't see things. See? Accountability. Joseph was accountable. So Joseph won the confidence of the other prisoners. And we're going to see soon when we see the chief of the bakers and the chief of the butlers in the prison, how quickly he gained their confidence. They were ready to tell him of this distressing dream that they had. Joseph was a man that was touched with the feelings of their infirmities. That's what a servant is. A servant looks at the countenance of a person and reads the person by the countenance of the person. We see that in the ministry that he had with the chief of the butlers and the chief of the bakers. He noticed that they were sad. Do you notice that people are sad? You know, people will communicate to you with their countenance a lot faster than with their words. So Joseph was the type of person that was touched with the feelings of their infirmities. My, we have infirmities, don't we? And the older we get, the more infirmities we have. We ought to be touched with each other's infirmities. So we see here that Joseph, instead of seeing himself as a prisoner in a prison, he saw himself as a minister. See? I'm not a prisoner. I'm a minister. I'm a minister for the Lord. The Lord has put me in this place where there's a lot of needy people. What other place is there than a prison where there is more needy people? So he didn't look at himself as a prisoner. He looked at himself as a servant and minister of God. Boy, that's the kind of attitude we ought to have, whatever situation we find ourselves in. You know, and that's quite a salve over the sore spots. That's quite a balm for the hurt. To look at ourselves as a servant. You see, Joseph knew that it all depended on his attitude. Oh, how important attitude is. Pastor mentioned attitude here. How you approach a situation that you're in. See? Attitude. How you approach a situation that you're in. You know, we talked about several years ago about the attitude of an aircraft, a plane. It has a certain attitude. Well, that's what we're talking about here. How you approach the situation that you're in. So we see in this experience of Joseph that dedication to the calling of God will enable the servant of God to resist temptation. See, the closer you are to the Lord, the easier it is to resist temptation. That's a principle. That is a principle. If you have problems with temptation, you better flee to the Lord. You know, the song that says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim." Even the temptations of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's what I'm talking about here. The comparison, if you've got your eyes on Christ, oh, anything on this earth is dim. Even the temptations that call you. I like that song. It says, "A higher plane that I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." If you get your feet planted on higher ground like Joseph was, those temptations are nothing. See? So the closer you are to the Lord, the greater strength you have to resist temptation. We see that in Joseph. Through this experience of Joseph, we see Jesus, who suffered being tempted, yet without sin, who was slandered and persecuted and imprisoned, but without cause, who by the grace, by the cross, ascended to the throne. Oh, what a wonderful story this is. And what an encouragement it is to see someone that's close to the Lord being able to resist temptation and have a testimony for the Lord regardless of the situation that he's in. We finished chapter 39. We're going to go into chapter 40 next week, the Lord willing. We're going to meet the chief of the bakers and the chief of the butlers. These are new characters in the story. And they've got some dreams to tell. So get ready to hear their dreams. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, your mercy to us. Thank you for this story that you've blessed and given to us and kept after these many, many years, that our ears and our hearts might be affected. Thank you so much for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.